Amen. We're welcoming all the folks that are listening via the internet this morning, as well as you that are here this morning, to honor and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. The day before we honor His birth, I hope everybody by now understands that December 25th is not the correct day for the Lord Jesus Christ's birth. When it says that the shepherds were in the fields abiding their flocks by night, that had to be in the springtime sometime, maybe in March, April, May, something around in there. Obviously, the Lord didn't want us to know the exact day of His birth. Otherwise, we would be putting emphasis on that date rather than emphasis on Him. And so we all need to honor and worship the Lord. But through tradition down through the years, December 25th has been the day that that the world would go ahead and celebrate Jesus Christ's birth. Take your Bibles this morning and turn to the book of Isaiah in chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9, and I call your attention to verse 6. There's five things that are listed down here in this verse. And this is a prophecy of the Messiah, which turns out to be Jesus Christ, coming into the world. It says, "For unto us is a child born, unto us a son given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And the name, his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father." And save the last, the best for last, the Prince of Peace. Boy, if there's anything in this world that this world needs,
amen,
is peace.
Amen.
The question is this morning, how does this apply to me? And the question is, can I get peace? Our Heavenly Father, I pray that you might bless in the preaching of the Word of God this morning. Have your will done. May Satan not interrupt, Lord, the worship of the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. May we learn more about Him and about what He's provided. I pray that we might be paid attention to the Word of God. It's the only truth on earth that we can rely in, and it brings us hope and joy. And Lord, I pray that you might help us understand the Word, that we might understand you better, Father, and what you've done for us. Bless in the preaching in Jesus' name. Amen. Everyone wants peace in their life. Everyone wants it, but they don't get it because they don't know how to get it. They've got their way of trying to get peace. They want peace, they want tranquility. But as we're going to find, there's only one way. Just like Jesus said in John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, the life." No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's one way. One way for salvation, there's only one way for peace. He was going to be born. It's what it says in verse 6. A child is born and a son is given to us. It says a prince of peace. Now, a prince is a ruler. He's an administrator. He carries out what is necessary for us. That's what a prince is. And the Lord Jesus Christ has a way of bringing peace into our life and into our world. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 7, please. Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7, in verse 1, it talks about a man with a strange name, and his name is Melchizedek. Now, he was the king of Salem, a priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him. To whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all. That's first tithe in the Old Testament. That's even before the law. People that are against tithing, they say, oh, that's under the law. No, they don't know their Bible. Abraham was before the law. First, being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace. You see, the word Salem, that is the word for peace. But he says also his name is king of righteousness. Underline that in your Bible. That's important. You'll find out here in the next few minutes. Not only is Jesus Christ the king of all, he is the king of righteousness. That means he always does the right thing. Does that talk about you and your life? You always do the right thing. And he also is the king of peace. That city called Salem. Have you ever thought of the name Jerusalem? Pretty prominent city, isn't it? Not only in the Bible, but in the world. Everything's going on with God's people down through the ages, and it is right now. Israel, Jacob, he used to be called, and their chief city, Jerusalem. Jeru means city, and Salem means peace. The city of peace. He's the king of peace. He's the king of righteousness. A lot of people in this world wants peace. People in our nation want peace, but they want it without righteousness. People always want it their way. They get kind of used to the Burger King thing, you know, have it your own way. When you come to God, the creator of everything, you don't get it your way. You get it God's way. That's why we don't have peace. Wars and rumors of wars. service. I preached on that a few weeks ago, Matthew 24. There's going to be more wars, more rumors of wars and so forth in the end times. At the very last. Where's the peace? You don't get it without righteousness. Do you have the whole idea already in the message? If don't miss what I'm preaching to you this morning. They want peace, but want it without God, without submission to the King of Righteousness. My friend, if you do not get it from the King of Righteousness, you can't enjoy the King of Peace.
Amen. Amen.
That's how it goes. It's so simple a child could know that. But we're too smart. We're going to do it our way. We're going to have our whole life focus on everything else but this simple message that would completely change the world. No more wars. No more feuds. No more fights. Peace. But they got the hang up. If they want to do it their way, they want to enjoy their sin, they don't want to repent of their sin, they do not want to do the right thing, they don't want anything to do with righteousness within their life. Big problem. But we've got the answer. So the question of the sermon, can I have peace? And the answer is yes. You can actually have peace in your life. Now, a lot of Christians like to put on that they have peace in their life, but they don't. At all. I'm around a lot of Christians all the time, have been. Preaching 48 years now. And so, it's important that we get the peace in the right place. That'll change our lives and change our world that we live in. We need to enjoy the King of Peace so that we can have our lives living together rather than falling apart. Something that's within, a peace that keeps us from unraveling. Turmoil. Those things are just the opposite of peace. Real peace, calm in your heart. Not a raging storm in your soul. A person with good sense, rather than walking around trying to pick a fight. Peace, safety, rather than danger. Harmony, rather than war. Order, not confusion. In other words, if I submit to Him, He can command peace in my life. Nobody but the Lord Jesus Christ can command peace. The first peace that we run into here in the Bible is Romans chapter 5. Let's go to it. The book of Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Let's all say it in unison together. Ready? Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That kind of wraps it up. Look, we're justified by our faith. So that has to come first, our faith in what? The Lord Jesus Christ. And when you do, you'll have peace with God. Having faith in Jesus doesn't mean that you say a prayer one time in your life. Having faith in God, in the Lord Jesus Christ, is an every day, every second, every hour of your life. It's a faith that abides, doesn't wash away. It's like a permanent marker, amen. Not going to scrub that away, the things of the world. So it tells us right there in the book of truth, God's book, that we have peace with God through Jesus Christ. Doesn't mention anybody else. Nobody else can do it for you, my friend. He's the only one that's capable of giving us peace. You can't bypass peace with God and have peace with others. Peace with God comes first in your heart and in your life. Remember, how do you get peace in your life? Submission to the King of Righteousness.
Amen.
Get your submission right to God. Now, what do you want? What He wants. You were created for His pleasure, not your pleasure. Don't get it out of order. If you do not have peace with yourself, you cannot get along with others. I've seen plenty of Christians. At least they call themselves Christians. And they can't get along with anyone. They don't know who their neighbors are. They don't try to reach out. No peace there. A lot of Christians don't have the peace that I'm talking about this morning. They're miserable. They're discontented. They're unhappy. So, of course, the world and a lot of Christians go to psychologists. There's the answer. Sure. Psycho. The word pusche in the Greek, P-S-U-C-H-E, means soul. So psychology is a study of the soul. They want you to lay down on the couch maybe or whatever, you know, and have you talk. And what? They're trying to get you to tell things from your heart and everything else. Are you supposed to be doing that to a lost person that doesn't even know Jesus Christ, that hates the Bible, hates church? So are you supposed to be doing that? You're supposed to be trying to get the answer to life, peace in your life, from a lost person?
No.
I don't think so. What would a lost man know about my soul?
Nothing.
Some say, well, if I just change my setting, I'll just leave my church, or I'll leave my home, or I'll leave my state, and I'll go someplace else. That's called a syndrome called the grass is greener. So we just need to change our situation, and then we'll have peace. You better watch out about that grass greener thing. You know, the grass is greener when it's watered more. Maybe if you'd water the grass where you are, it'd be greener. The problem isn't moving, the problem's you. You get peace through the King of Righteousness. By the way, you'll get greener grass if it's over a septic tank. People sometimes find that. You jump the fence to the greener and, oh, boy, it stinks around here. That's the way it is. Oh, but you don't understand, Pastor. I'm saved, so my heart is. I'm not a wicked one. What do you mean about a wicked one? Well, it says in Isaiah 48:22 that there is no peace to the wicked. And some Christian comes up and says, "Well, I'm not wicked, so I do have peace." Oh, is that right? Except you don't know what Jeremiah says, do you? Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful. It's wicked. You better watch out about your heart. Just because you're saved doesn't mean you have peace, and it doesn't mean that you do the right thing all the time. And you'll never get peace without the King of Righteousness. Go to Isaiah 59. Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 8. The way of peace they know not, and there is no judgment in their goings. There's no justice. They're not doing the right thing. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. It's by nature that you're born without peace. You have to get peace from Jesus Christ. There is no other way. John 14:6 tells us. Peace is not in your reach by yourself or through anyone else, but the King of Righteousness, the King of Peace. Can you imagine people choosing suffering over peace? Got to watch out about us, we that are born again Christians. A lot of us have a false peace. We want peace at the expense of truth. They don't want to hear truth. Truth can beat you up because it shows what's true in your life. And people don't want that, and so they try to compromise. They want peace at the expense of truth, at the expense of obedience, at the expense of righteousness. They compromise. You understand, I'm not supposed to search for peace or hunt for it. Peace is an outcome of being in submission to the King of Righteousness. Get that down into your heart. Try to capture these words that we're reading and you're hearing. You got to be in submission to the King of Righteousness before you can have anything from the King of Peace. Go to 1 Samuel chapter 11. Book of 1 Samuel chapter 11, please. Then Nahash, the Ammonite, came up and encamped against Jabesh Gilead. And all the men of Jabesh said unto Nahash, make a covenant with us, and we will serve thee. And Nahash the Ammonite answered, on this condition, he's making a deal. Will I make a covenant with you that I may thrust out all your right eyes and lay it for a reproach upon all Israel? And the elders of Jabesh said unto him, give us 7 days respite that we may send messengers unto all of the coasts of Israel, and then if there be no man to save us, we will come out to thee. This guy, Nahash, he was wicked. He's saying, you don't want me to kill you and your city and family and everything. If you come out to me and I can pluck out your right eye, then I'll give you peace. The wicked always has some kind of scheme. You know, the devil loves to make deals. But his deals are only temporary. Nahash was wicked. He was shrewd. Boy, you lose an eye, you lose a lot in your life. When you're blind, boy, the blind will lead the blind. Psalm 120, verse 7 says, for I am peace, and when I speak, I am for peace, and when I speak, they are for war. You know what Israel wants over there? They want peace. And as soon as they speak, we see Hamas come over and give them war. Kill the Israelites. They want to wipe them off the face of the earth. That's what the devil does. I wonder if the church house, it's supposed to be called a church of fighting. Jesus said, my house shall be called the church of peace.
Amen.
The church of prayer. When you're in prayer, you have a lot of peace. While you're getting close to God, hopefully you're repenting of your sin. You're seeing the things in your own life. Like to pray for others because they're so bad, but you don't pray for yourself and look for your own faults. Think you're something over somebody else. When you have the true peace, you're not contentious, contending all the time, finding fault. Go to Romans chapter 12. Book of Romans, chapter 12. And verse 18. gives a list of things in chapter 12 that we Christians are supposed to have in our life. And he says in verse 18, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. The only problem with that is, if you don't get your peace from the King of Peace, that is, that you're doing right, you're not lying, cheating, going behind people's backs and everything else, you're doing all that kind of stuff, and you're not going to have peace. And you're not going to be able to live peaceably with all men. But that's how we Christians are to live. As much as lieth in you, don't be one that's contentious. The world likes to call them Karens now. People are just troublemakers. Want their own way and loud and boisterous and everything else. Go to Psalm chapter 34, please. Psalm chapter 34. I hope you're taking this to heart, because it's coming from the Bible, and I'm showing you that God's speaking to you today. Amen. It's up to you to respond to Him. Psalm chapter 34 and in verse 14. Depart from evil. Do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. His ears are open unto their cry. You see, God knows whether you do that. It tells you, first of all, to seek to do the good thing. And that I'm in a pursuit of peace. In other words, when I want the truth, then I'll stumble over peace. It comes right after submission to the King of Righteousness. Get things in order with your life. You know what this is all about? This is a Christmas message. Because this is God coming to bring peace. He's the King. He's the King of Righteousness. He never sinned. He's the King of Peace. Amen. And He'll give that to you. Don't try to get it anywhere else. You won't get it from the world. You won't get it from a cult. You'll get it from the King of Peace. Go to Proverbs chapter 16, please. The book of Proverbs chapter 16. You see, we take time on purpose on Sunday to come to God's house and invest time into knowing the truth so our lives can be better, so our children can grow up to know peace in the house. That mom and dad are obeying the King of Righteousness. And there is peace that abounds because of that. They follow their parents. They're there with you every day. Of course they're going to be influenced. Look at Proverbs 16, verse 7, please. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even enemies to be at peace with him. Now it didn't say that you could win them over. It was saying that God only can make peace. He's the only one. It talks about ways, first of all, right? In verse 7, that's how you do things, how you live your life. It's talking about that King of Righteousness. You gotta have the King of Righteousness first, doing the right things, doing the godly things. Then the Prince of Peace can come in and give you peace. And he's the only one that can do it. God's the only one that can make everlasting peace. Why? Because peace is made in heaven. Peace is made in heaven. Nothing's more important than what you're studying right now. Because anything made in heaven is eternal. It's lasting. It's not just for a little while. It's easy to try to control yourself and everything else and act like you have peace when God knows what's really going on in your heart and life. Philippians 4:7 says, "And the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." This thing of peace, when it comes from God, if it's the real thing, the peace of God, it passes all comprehension, all understanding. Nobody understands it. How you can be peaceful under all of the stress and the problems and everything else going on. It's a bad testimony for people that say that they're born-again Christians and they're not doing right. They're not living right. They don't care what's right. They're going to go their own way. They're going to do what they have to do, they say, rather than doing the right thing. And that's why they don't have peace. But the real thing, it'll keep your hearts. You remember when Jesus was out in the boat and a storm came up? Jesus, he went down in the hull of the boat and he was just sleeping along. He was sawing logs, amen. Right through the storm. I mean, the water was coming in, the bell was filling up, and I mean, they were scared out of their minds. The apostles ran back and woke them up. Boy, it's a good thing they really went back there and woke up God, or they were all perished. Not a chance. You know, God allows things to come into our life for a test.
Yes, sir.
See what you're going to do.
Oh, boy.
You're going to obey the King of Righteousness? Because you'll never get peace. Jesus is the King of Righteousness, the King of Peace. Remember, you read that in Hebrews. He got up. And he talked to the sea.
Yes, sir.
He said, "Peace, be still." Got a question? Where'd that peace come from? God Almighty, in the form of flesh, created peace. On the spot, boom. He's the creator of peace. He creates, brother. When something isn't there, all of a sudden it is there. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 26, please. It amazes me how some people can sit down and watch a movie for 2 hours. Not have a problem at all. Some people can watch a football game for 3 hours. Not a problem at all. But for 1 hour in God's house, oh, it's a big deal. Yeah, you're a Christian. Isaiah chapter 26 and in verse 3. Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. So when you get that perfect peace, did you understand that there's something in front of that peace? Amen. Anything perfect is going to come from God. And it says you won't lose it. It'll keep him. When your mind is on the Lord. But when your mind's on other things, other problems,
Pastor.
Yeah.
I used that. My mom gave me that saying for the 3 years I was in state prison, and it steadied me and stayed me.
Amen.
The worst.
Amen.
The worst.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Keep your mind stayed on Him. Amen. That's what it's all about. If I truly have peace within me, then I can have peace with you. I don't have to be fussing if I got the real thing in me. Lots of Christians don't have peace in their life. They act like they do, but they don't. Comes out. You have the real perfect peace that comes from God, like it says there, that we just read. You're going to have peace with your circumstances. A lot of us go through things that we don't like. Bad circumstances. Bad things for us, we say, come into our lives. Oh, that's just by accident, of course. God didn't allow that. Oh, yeah, he did. To show you, you don't have peace. When you have peace, then you're able to go through those circumstances. If you're saved, you're a child of the King. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
That's what we say all the time. Which king? The King of Righteousness. If you're saved. And if you do allow him to rule your life, you will have the King of Peace as well.
Amen.
Doing the right thing comes first. Obeying. Humbling. You know, God's not going to fight you for the throne of your heart. But that's the only way it's going to happen. Submit to the King of Righteousness, and he'll be the King of Peace in your heart. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that you might apply those things to our heart, that we might, we've read what the truth is. We understand that's what Christmas Day is all about. No matter what date on a calendar it is, it did happen. And that's what we celebrate. The greatest miracle in the universe, that God became a man. And he also became a king. A king of doing right every time. Doing good every time. And then we see that he's also king, right? Peace. Help us, Lord, to act that out in our lives. May we get on our knees. May we humble ourselves. and crown him king within our lives, king of righteousness. Thank you for what you've laid down in the Word of God, that we can understand it more, and that we can answer that question of the message, can I have peace? Yes, anyone can have peace. Help us to do exactly what we study. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, praise the Lord. Let's go ahead and take